Lady Shear, Wednesday afternoon, Shari Yichud HaMaisa, Chof Ador. Okay. Wow, I forgot about the class. We're still here. No, I didn't forget about it. Oh, the ladies, but it's okay. So you'll get to hear my thank you for what I was given on Purim. I'm very happy you couldn't figure out what to get. This way I got a whole ton of stuff. Some for me, some for my wife, some for the house, some for the kids. Some, and they even threw in the Shabbos lamp. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for coming to the class. That's the main thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well,
you know, I'll tell you a story. You talk about Yichud HaMaisa, so I'll tell you a story. Because we're dealing with subtleties, and we're dealing with really very fine. It's important, you know. It's one of the most important things in life. If you could manage this, to only be focused on what Hashem's will is, and that whatever you're doing because it's Hashem's will. You'll see how many things are affected by that. It's amazing. But something just happened to me a few days ago. I mean, 30 things a day happen. But just like a subtlety. So I give a shiur in Shaar HaBitachon somewhere, in a seminary. It's my Rosh Hashiva's daughter's seminary, so this is my way of thanking him. So I agreed to do this. I'm doing it a few years already. So before the last class, when I was about to go in, a girl comes over to me. I don't know what the girls, there's like 150 girls there. I always look at a fly on the wall over there. Anyway, so she says that she was there 2 years ago, and she's in Eretz Yisrael now, so she came to hear the class. Now, so you say, yeah, why would a person care? And I'm talking to 150 girls every week, and I speak to ladies, and I speak in shul. But it affects a person. I saw, like, it affects, oh, someone came special to hear me. And then, you know, maybe I'll explain things a little clearer. Maybe I'll make a joke, you know. And we're really creatures of Negius, and as the Chavetz Chaim explains, right? Because really, you should say, what's the difference? I'm giving a shiur, you know, it's Hashem's will, I'm teaching. Like, what's this silly girl? I don't know who she is, I'll never see her again. What's the difference? It doesn't matter. She's not judging my class, but it makes a difference, and you have to work on losing that. So the Chavetz Chaim is going to train us here. He's talking about much worse things also. He's talking about doing things that are maybe even... He's talking about both the purity of action, both quantitatively and qualitatively, because when you have ulterior motives... So first of all, it's quantitatively different. You're not 100% doing it for Hashem. You're doing it 50% for Hashem, and it's like it's a shittuf. You're mixing in another motive. So that's like a quantitative difference. You have another motive. It's like being Ovid. At one point in the Shaar, he calls it Ovid Hashem b'shittuf. Very, very strong and harsh words. Shittuf usually clearly refers to Avodah Zarah. You say shittuf like this, but that's shittuf. He calls that shittuf because you have another motivation, and we're supposed to try and work on losing the other motivation, and that's what the Shaar is about, training us how to do it. you know, maybe every once in a while, well, maybe I'll do it a little today. You have to, like, sit back and think about what you've learned. You know, if you learn a piecemeal every week, it's hard to form, it's like bitachon, same thing. You know, if you learn a piecemeal once a week, it's hard to form a workbook out of it, a workshop, and say, okay, here's the game plan, and this is what I have to do, and that's a whole another avoda. That's a whole nother avoda, making a workshop out of it. Okay, and also it's obviously it's qualitatively different because we're supposed to be servants of Hashem, and once you mix in something else, it's not just a question of shituf, but then it's a question of when you have shituf. The reason shituf is avoda zara is that just like the Chavis Halava says in Shara Bitachon. There's no such thing as having bitachon in Hashem and in someone else. I mean, there is, but there's not. If you have bitachon in something else also, then you're not really having bitachon in Hashem. You have an alternate game plan. You have a plan B. There's Hashem and you have a plan B. So that's not bitachon. The plan A is flawed. Okay, so we're learning Shayich Ramaisa, which is wholehearted doing things only because it's the will of Hashem, and that our actions should be motivated by the will of Hashem. Not, it sounds crass, but it's life is that way, meaning what's in it for me, right? The opposite of Yichud HaMaisa is saying what's in it for me. Now sometimes what's in it for me could be Olam Haba, right, which is not the highest level of serving Hashem. We all wish we could be there, but it's also not what he's talking about. And again, look, we say many times, if you strive for the ideal, so maybe once a week you'll hit the ideal, maybe, or at least you're striving, so you're working on yourself to become a better and better person. Lo alecha hamalacha l'gmar, lo atah ben chorin lehibatel mimena. So we try it, but Chavis Halava is not very uncompromising in presenting what the ideal is. That's in Bitachon, in Yichud HaMaisa, in everything, in Shar HaTeshuvah, in all of the Sharim, Shar HaKniyah. He goes and says it like it is, the way he understands the Midah to be. So in Perek Aleph he defined it, in Perek Beis he said what you need in order to acquire it. In Perek Gimel, he showed us that we're talking about Chovos HaLevavos, not Chovos HaMaasim, right? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm talking about Chovos Eivorim, not Chovos HaLevavos. Chovos HaLevavos needs no Shar Yichud HaMaisa. To love Hashem, you have to love Hashem. So the emotions there are not there. No one's watching you, no one's seeing what you do. You can't fake it. You're not going to have an ulterior motive for loving Hashem. Nobody sees. It's what people see. And it's part of our lives in terms of chitzonius. So we are from, and we go through the motions, and we do the rituals, and we're serving Hashem, and we look like the most biggest tzaddikim. But it could be very, very problematic. That's what he points out in Perek Gimel. In Perek Daled, he says that there are three things that will spoil Yichud HaMaisa, meaning being focused on Hashem's will. Three things will spoil it. One, number one is not, I'm using my own words, we're not learning the text inside, we're actually up to Perek Hay, or at the end of Perek Dalet, but I want to go over it just so we could have some Yichud HaMaisa here in Shari Yichud HaMaisa. We could be focused. Number one is not having, this is very hard, and people don't even think about this most of the time, and they don't know what to do. And maybe some of this class helps us with that. Certainly Shar HaBitachon helps us with that. And that is thinking of Hashem as a real being, not an abstraction, not a idea, not a spiritual guru. Hashem is real. Now it's hard because we indeed can't conceive of Hashem in all of his greatness. But we don't have to. We're told that we know him lefi ma'asav. He tells us what his will is through the Torah, through the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say we have it now. Through, right, that's how it comes down to us. So we know what he wants, we know what he likes, we know what he dislikes. We're supposed to learn his midos from studying Chumash, from studying Medrashim, from hearing, from studying Musar books, Yahadus books, Hashkafic books. You read stories and you see Hashem wants us to be a certain way, to act a certain way. Hashem is real, and this is our sense of reality. Hashem is fear. Hashem is just, Hashem is tov, Hashem is meitiv, Hashem is the Baal Chesed, the Baal Rachamim. Sometimes we hit upon more difficult concepts. Is Hashem mevater or not? Some Gemara says he's not mevater, and some Gemaras say he is mevater. So yeah, that's already, now you're on level 2-3. But you can acquire an understanding of Hashem by studying his ways. If you don't, says the Chayav Halavos, you're in trouble. And this is one of the problems of being, as we saw in Shara Avodas Elokim, being hung up on ritual. You have to do it, but being hung up on ritual and sort of stopping your spiritual growth at that point, you don't develop any sense of kesher, or as we call it, a relationship with Hashem. If you don't, what does the Chayav Halavos mean? So you explain, if you don't, then why a person will not maintain or be able to maintain for any significant amount of time serving something that's not real to that person. Because life is real. I got a boss, I have neighbors, I have friends, I have a spouse, I have children. That's, you say, I got a bill to pay, I got a mortgage payment to make, I got Pesach cleaning to do. That's the real world. And if Hashem is some sort of nebulous idea that we never think about him, we never think about it, so then we end up going through emotions. You know, we want to be from, we like the from life. And maybe Pesach, taka hard. Maybe we could cut out Pesach, but no, Chas v'Shalom, it's wonderful. And so we go through the motion because we're going to relate to real life. Or when a nisayon comes up, we're going to go with what's real over with what's not real. In Perek Hay, which is the next Perek, he makes clear that Yichud HaMaisa is a slippery slope. If you leave yourself open to doing things with ulterior motives, it's only a skip and a hop to an Avera. And because once you're serving yourself, now again, obviously, it's just kind of scary because we're not at perfection and maybe we'll never attain perfection because it's hard, it's very hard, and it's just like I always say, it's a lifetime of work. This is also a lifetime of work. But we know what it's very chashuv. Don't minimize. It's very chashuv to know what the goal is, to know what you're striving for, to know what's the ideal, to know what a real super tzaddik would be. So you're aiming, and you won't get lazy. Some people could stop growing at 20. Some people could stop growing at 30, at 40, at 50. There's no reason to. There's no reason to. You have to keep trying to work on these things. You have to think a lot. We don't have time to think. We're very busy. If we're not busy, so we have music always and banging in our ears, or we have MP3 players playing all sorts of shiurim. This is the only shiur you need. I don't like that. But really, you need time to think. That's what you need time, not even to listen to this shiur. This shiur is a couple minutes a week. You have to think about the ideas, Anyway, getting back to what he's saying, if Hashem is not real to you, and if you don't have, as we are fond of saying, if you don't have a relationship with Hashem, what's real in your life is going to win out over what's not real, and you're not going to be able to do it for His sake. You're not going to be able to do it as a fulfillment of His will, because He's not a real. He's an abstraction. He's an idea, and maybe I don't know. I was raised, really, I mean, we're taught that He's not real, almost. And He's only an abstraction because He can't know Hashem, but it's not true. You know, then I got older, I'm still waiting to grow up, but I got older, and I might run out of time. I may never grow up, like Peter Pan. Remember Peter Pan? Who saw Peter Pan? How many times? Whether you just see more, The Wizard of Oz or Peter Pan? So, it's a problem. It's Hashem, and He's real, and you have to love Him, and you have to fear Him, and you have to feel like you know Him. U'molah ha'aretz deya es Hashem, v'yada'at es Hashem. And then you say, I'm doing it because I want to fulfill His will. You think back to Shar Avodas Elokim. He is the one that gave me all of these things that I have, whether it's a roof over my head, or a family, or air to breathe, or a digestive system, or made me Jewish, or, I mean, anything in our lives, if we would... Right, so that's the Hakaras HaTov that He wants us to do in Shar Avodas Elokim. That should swell up in us a feeling of gratitude and therefore indebtedness to want to do His will. So that's real. That's a real thing. So that's number one. Number two in Perek Dalet that spoils Yichud HaMaisa is ignorance, lack of education. You don't, and this is, you know, you don't really know what you have to do, and you don't really know if it's a mitzvah, or maybe it's a minig, or horror of horrors, maybe it's a chassidish minig, which you really don't want to be caught doing. That was a joke. Okay. And, you know, you have to do it, you don't have to do it. You have to have some idea of what you're mechuyev to do. Because if not, again, how can you do something properly and say I'm fulfilling Hashem's will if you're not really sure if you are or if you're not? So you need education. That's what he calls the Shlo Yovin Mitzvos Elokim Ves Torosov. You can't do it lishma. You can't do it. You won't have any energy. That's maybe the best way of putting it. You won't have any energy to do things and to be mechavein and to feel close to Him and to do His will if there's something in your mind is saying, you know, I'm not even sure I'm doing this right, or I'm not even sure if you have to do this at all. Now, if you don't know, and you're doing it because you're being l'chumra, till you can call me up on the phone, that's okay, because then you're motivated by listening to Hashem's will. If that becomes your motivation. But at some point, he says, but if you don't know what you're doing over a significant amount of time, that wears off. It wears off, and again, you're beset with things that are more real, that are more definite. You know, ein safek motzi midei vaday. The mortgage payment or the relationship with the neighbor is for sure here, and the mitzvah, you don't know. You don't know if you really have to. So you have to go find out. You have to ask and find out. So you should be clear in what listening to His will means. That's number two. Education, we'll call it. Being knowledgeable. And number three is the Yetzer Hara. But he's focused on one... he's going to talk a lot about the Yetzer Hara in Perek Hay. We're going to get a guided tour through all the wiles and all the tricks and strategies of the Yetzer Hara in a way that never before exposed. Exposé. He writes an exposé of the Yetzer Hara in Perek Hay. And I'll just give you one little hint that he says, as evil as the Yetzer Hara is, and as difficult as it is, and as wily as he is, and as smart as he is, because most of the time you don't even think of it as the Yetzer Hara, you think of it as you. That's one of the major things he says. Not the Yetzer Hara, that's me, it's my brain. I'm saying I better do this or else. It's not the Yetzer Hara, it's me. But he says, once you expose the Yetzer Hara, he runs away. It's like darkness, and you light a candle so the darkness disappears. He will immediately come back with another trick. He doesn't get tired. You ever try to chase away a fly? He says, the Yetzer Hara is like a fly. You keep chasing it, it keeps coming back. But he will go, but it's like a fly that if he sees you're onto him, he runs away. So, and this is Pshat in the Gemara that describes, that says the tzaddikim look at the Yetzer Hara and they see a big mountain, Elacher, if there was in the Olam HaEmes, and they cry, and the Rishon see a little thread, and they're each crying because the Yetzer Hara looks. If I would just compare it to being on a diet, and you can't imagine like going without dessert, and then you do it once, and you go, hey, nothing happened. The world didn't collapse. You're not missing anything in your life. I was at the art school dinner. I didn't walk into the Viennese room. I didn't walk in. And you know, now I'm alive to tell the tale. And it was a very nice dinner and everything was good. Now, someday I'll get to a madrega when I will be able to walk in. But that's another madrega. But that's what he says about the Yetzer Hara in Perek Hey, that if you, it's really easy. You just say, that's the Yetzer Hara. I know what that is. That's not a good thought. That's not a spiritual thought. Then he runs away. Then it's easy to conquer. And that's what the Gemara says. The Rishon are crying because they see what they could have done. And the Tzaddikim are seeing it as it appears, as the illusion is. Al Kaponim, the Yetzer Hara. But here he focuses on maybe this is his ultimate goal, I guess one could say. Number three of the things that are mafsid, yichud hamaisa, number one being not thinking of Hashem as being real, not feeling you have to form a relationship with him. It's just, number two being you have to know what you have to do and what you don't have to do and what you're supposed to be doing, and all of those things in the middle, which are sometimes gray areas. And number three is the Yetzer Hara is a problem that he maximizes in our eyes how Gishmak Olam Hazeh is, and he minimizes in our eyes our Ruchniyistik lives or obligations. Like Olam Hafach, he changes everything around. He puts things topsy-turvy, upside down, very good for Purim. And it's Olam Hafach, as the Gemara's phrase, is Olam Hafach Re'isi. And that's what he tries to do, because when, he says, I'm going to give some examples, please. I don't mean that everything I mention is bad. Don't take it as bad. Just, like you think, maybe I shouldn't say an example, maybe better off not. Like that piece of cake at the end of the meal. Or maybe a trip that you think, how could I not, what's wrong? You stay home. You don't have to. I'm not talking about, please, don't jump on me. Take all the vacations you want. You deserve it. But by me, the best vacation is I turn off the phone. I used to say unplug the phone, now you have to turn it off. Turn off the phone. That's all. Then I like to stay home. Turn on the air conditioner. Usually my wife wants me to go somewhere, it's hot. I say, let me stay home. You want to give me a vacation? Let me turn the air conditioner on the highest setting and unplug the phone. That's all I need. Please. Okay, so that's the Yetzer Hara maximizes this world, and he minimizes the spiritual world, and that's what we have to overcome. So that's the three things. He then elaborates in Perek Dalet on the three things, and he very boldly says the type of thing that only the Chavis Halvavos could get away with. Anybody else would be banned. He says, you know something? He goes back to the first thing. He says, if you have no... He says, that's where Avodah Zarah. What made Ovdei Avodah Zarah in a historical view, what led to Avodah Zarah is that they were not able to think of Hashem as real. So, like the eagle, you know, well, like many Mephoshim say about the eagle, you know, they don't have anything to latch on to. So instead of doing it the way the Torah says to do it, which is learning about Hashem and emulating Hashem and the halachta bedrachav and studying the ways of Hashem and studying the Torah and any Torah that you learn, whether it's a man's Torah or the women's learning of Torah, you're learning about Hashem. You're not learning a textbook. This is Hashem. This is the way Hashem sees the world. This is what Hashem wants the world to function according to these rules. This is the ideal world. This is the perfect world. These are the perfect relationships one has. This is the way you have tens of things that are always reminding you about Hashem. Hashem, right? Everything we do, we say Kriya Shema Hashem is our Melech. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We make Bichas HaShachar. Yeah, Hashem provides us with this. Hashem provides us with that. We're constantly bombarded. A man is supposed to be wearing tefillin a whole day. You know that? This is a very pale, sad imitation of a mitzvah, what we do, what men do. They throw on the tefillin for 30 minutes, some for 20 minutes, some for 10 minutes, and they can't wait to get it off and rush out the door. A man is supposed to be wearing tefillin a whole day when he works. Imagine, you know, we think of people at work, yeah, you're supposed to go to work, right? And then you're wearing tefillin. You always remember about Hashem. He's wearing tzitzis, wearing tefillin. A woman is in the bayis, has the mezuzah, which always, that's her tefillin, that's her tzitzis, that's the bayis, the mezuzah. And if she goes out of the house, the Sfarim talk about her spiritual connection that doesn't, whatever interpretation you want to say, but she has her mitzvahs in the house. And we're always bombarded by Hashem, 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 Hashem. But the Ovdei Avodah Zarah didn't know the secret. They didn't have Torah yet. So they couldn't grasp, and they needed something. So they went to Avodah Zarah. That's what the Chavis HaLevavos said. That's what that first problem could lead to. Because a person wants... And then he says, like, no one will get away with this, but the Chavis HaLevavos. He says, and you know something? The Ovdei Avodah Zarah is better than the faker, than the person that's doing things with ulterior motives, that's doing all the mitzvahs, but he's not serving Hashem. He's self-serving, or he's doing it to advance, or he's doing it for whatever reason he may be doing it, but the person that doesn't deserve is better than him. Now, it's not a halachic statement, so don't run out to your local Avodah Zarah store and buy anything, and don't worship the sun tomorrow morning. You want to daven l'sikin, that's fine, but don't worship the sun. But it's a very bold statement, and he specifies the four ways. The first way is that the Avodah Zarah maybe doesn't know any better. You know, he has what he was taught, and this is how he understands what God is. But a Jew who's doing mitzvahs, it's like so sad. If he's, we say in the Balotzio, we say Leman lo nigalarik, velo ne leid la behala. We're spinning our wheels. It's tragic. You know, if you keep Shabbos, which is hard enough as it is, but you never connect to what keeping Shabbos is supposed to be, it's because Hashem told us to keep Shabbos as a reminder, A, that He created the world, that the world wasn't always here, there's a creator, and B, He took us out of Mitzrayim, that's what it says in Devarim, in Va'eschanan, and we don't work, we're free from our work for one day. It's also the aspect of Bitachon, I always like to say, that we read about in B'Shalach, in the Parshas Hamon. So if you never do that, and you just go, you're spinning your wheels. So that's so sad, and you know what to do. So just take it to the next level, take it another step. The other Rebbe Zohar is doing what he was taught. That's number one. Number two is that the Oved Avodah Zarah, what is he worshipping? He's worshipping in some false way. I stress that. I don't want to be misquoted, get into trouble. But he's worshipping God. Maybe he thinks of God as nature. He thinks of it as a spiritual force, the laws of nature. You could. But it's a pure thing. It's beautiful. Nature's beautiful. It's a pure... It's good. It's a good thing. It's objective. It's fair. It usually does what it's supposed to do. But the chonek, the person that does things for ulterior motives, is usually worshiping people, and people are nasty. People are not, unfortunately, pure and objective and beautiful and motivated by, and have rules that they follow and they are faithful, and they're nasty. They want nasty things. Sometimes they're very nasty. So at least Oved Avodah Zarah is living a pure life. But a person that is interested in pleasing others, a crowd pleaser, a people pleaser, getting ahead, what's in it for me, it's in the mud. It's in the mud, and it's not a pleasant sight. That's number two. Number three is that the Oved Avodah Zarah usually picks one force. Maybe it's the sun, maybe it's, V'shem Elohim Acherim Lo Yisham Alpicha. I don't want to have to say names of Avodah Zarahs, but at least he's singular in his focus. But if you worship people, so you gotta do things to the person that gives you a parnasa, then you have to do things because of the person that gives you a social life, then you have to do things for the person that is your friend, and you have all these needs, and you have all the different friends for different needs, so you end up serving a multitude of masters. Obviously, it's not always like that. Adarabba, Rashi and Chumash describes Esav as having many gods, and usually they did have many gods, but he's talking, he's not that serious, right? If you had to choose between doing the mitzvah shelo lishma and doing Avodah Zarah, I dare say that the Chavis HaLovas would agree that you should not do Avodah Zarah. He's talking conceptually. He wants you to understand what's at stake. And conceptually, they are spiritual seekers. They're focused, they're worshiping something beautiful, and maybe we could say they're not they might be good people. Even spiritually, they might be good people. They're making a very terrible mistake. Very, very terrible mistake. One that they'll pay for, maybe. We don't know. That's up to Hashem if they'll have to pay for it or not. If they could have known better, if they should have known better. But they're doing something. If the only problem is Avodah Zarah, he says, compares very favorably with the person that's in the muck of self-interest and step on other people and get ahead in this world and what's in it for me. And the fourth thing is that he's a faker. And the Oved Avodah Zarah does everything out in the open, and if you choose to stay away from him, which you should, then you do. But your best friend and I might be a big faker. Maybe it's more than might, but right, you have your best friend who's frum and is good, and really they're manipulating. They're manipulators. Right, we learned about that. We learned in an earlier parak in Shari Yichud HaMaisa that one of the degradations of lack of Yichud HaMaisa is that you become a manipulative person. And that's not a good way to live. And that's his number four. That the Oved Avodah Zarah is out in the open, not hypocritical, not secretly a manipulator. And you know to stay away from him. And the person that keeps all the rituals is always maneuvering to get ahead in the world, maybe sometimes in the spiritual world, but to get ahead, to make a name for himself or herself, to be known, to be looked up to, kavod, gaiva. Sometimes there's a taiva involved, sometimes it's taivas momen, sometimes it's adulation. Whatever it is, that's worse. It's worse. That's what he says. So those are the four things in which... So that was, he sort of digressed. Because his point was, if you don't know Hashem, you can't have Yichud HaMaisa. I hope I'm not boring everybody. I mean, we learned this already. I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm doing it for myself. I'm terrible. I'm doing it for myself. You see? See, I manipulated you all. So that I could chazer. I was out of it for two weeks. It's terrible. Anyway, so what did he do? He segued here because he said that not knowing Hashem was the mistake of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's how they fell away, because they didn't. It's very dangerous. He's saying if you don't know Hashem, you're going to end up doing things shelo lishma. You're going to end up doing things. Right? If you don't like love Hashem when you do Pesach, and you're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and all the nisim he did for us. And you're eating the matzah, and it's hard. I know it's hard because the kids are doing their manishtaning. It's very hard. The seder's hard. And then Rabbi Mlinowitz says you really should finish till chatzos if you're a Litvish person. And we're all Litvish, so we finish by chatzos. And if you don't, I won't say it's fine, but there's no denying that there were people that are not makbet to finish by chatzos. But I can't understand the seder. I don't see how you could do everything, and like you basically end up having 4 hours, 5 hours maybe, and then you know. So some people read it and they're finished by 10 o'clock, and then they have a good Shulchan Aruch, then we kai them very nicely. But if you get hold of a maral, one day I always talk about doing it in the shul, but I'm like no Indians. Chief, no Indians. I mean, you have Gevuras Hashem. The Maral wrote an entire sefer about Yetzias Mitzrayim called Gevuras Hashem, and half of it's on the Haggadah. In the beginning, he goes back to the beginning. He goes back to Bris Ben Abasarim and Avram Avinu, and it's Maral. It's deep and it's full with understanding. And then he goes through the Haggadah. You can actually buy a Haggadah from Pesach Al Pi Maral, where they extract from the Gevuras Hashem the pieces of Maral that are directly relevant to the Haggadah. But it's in Hebrew. And it's hard. And you're not going to do that by the Seder. So the men have to prepare. I say the men because if I would say a woman just appear for the Seder, she would look at me like I'm from the moon and from Mars and say, who's going to do the shopping and the cleaning and buying clothing for the kids and the laundry and the dry cleaning? My husband's not going to do it. At least make sure he prepares for the Seder. He should prepare. This is the only time of year I really have a desire to be a Chutz Laretz. At least you get 2 shots at the plate. Doesn't seem fair. You have only 1 shot at the plate. So at least when Shabbos is Erev Pesach, you know you're coming, you're rested. But otherwise, it's hard. It's hard. And you only have 1 shot. And it has to work. So at least in America, the first night was the Haggadah, and the second night I gave to the kids, and that's it. The Manishtana and the projects from school and their Perushim that they bring from school, and we split up the 2 nights. But it's very hard. But anyway, what's my point? My point is, like, it's so sad to go through the whole night and not feel anything towards Hashem. Like a squandered opportunity. So that's number one. So he segued into, that's how the Avodah Zarah got to be of the Avodah Zarah, because they weren't taught how to have a sense of reality about Hashem. So you need a person, as a physical person, it's Olam Hazeh, it's a world of concrete things. So they had to have something. It's not right. It's not right. He's explaining how it happened. And then he says, and he segues, right? And then he says, and you know what? You're better off that than the person that, because he can't conceive of Hashem, ends up in his or her real world of benefiting from acting a certain way and doing it for ulterior motives. You're better off doing the Avodah Zarah, conceptually. Then he gets to the second thing, where you have to be educated and you have to know Hashem. And then he just elaborates, I already elaborated, that if you're not sure what you're supposed to do, then you can't aim bur yerechet. You can't properly serve Hashem. You're certainly not going to do it lishma. You do it with half a heart. You'll do it without any energy, without any sense of being uplifted by what you're doing, because you're not quite sure that you're doing the right thing, or you're not supposed to. So what do? You ask. Nowadays, you can maybe learn yourself. Plenty of books, Sfarim, English, Hebrew, websites, or you ask. But know what you're doing. And then number three is the Yetzer Hara. We're going to finish the fourth parak now, and we're going to start the fifth parak. Are we learning next week? Or that's off limits already. You people, next week is still before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Let's learn, as long as it's Adar, let's learn, and then we'll take a break in Nisan. I mean, if you want to learn, I'm ready to, but I don't think that's going to happen in Nisan. But next week it's still not Nisan, so we are learning next week, and we'll start with Perek Hay, and at the end of Perek Dalid, please forgive me I didn't do anything today. I just repeated everything, but it's good. I don't know, I hope it's okay. So, the Yetzer Hara, he elaborates a little. I said he maximizes Olam HaZeh and he minimizes Olam HaBa, minimizes spirituality. And by maximize, I mean he makes it seem like it's so geschmack and it's so worthwhile and it's such a great thing to do, and you're going to lose out so much if you don't. This is what the problem with teenagers are, especially with the social. Like if you're not on Facebook, you're not a mensch. You're not a mensch. You don't exist. You don't have any. If you don't have all those fake friends, then you don't have any friends. Yeah. But here he gets more specific at the very tail end of Perek Dalet, the last few lines. He says sometimes he throws in machshavos about emuna, which no one will admit to, but every once in a while. By the way, the Chavos HaLavos in the fifth parak says, maybe I shouldn't talk about these things. Maybe I'm going to give people certain ideas and we shouldn't go there. And he says, no, because it's going to happen. People think, all kinds of thoughts beset people. And they're faced with all sorts of nisyonos and thoughts. And he makes the decision to talk about everything, lay everything out on the table, and explain how to deal with it and why it's the Yetzer Hara and how to counteract it. So here he just throws in at the end of the perek, one is shaking emuna. You know, every once in a while a person will get a thought, maybe. No. Ah, but it's in the door. It has a foot in the door already. So maybe it'll come back in a week. Do this. I once saw on a website that who says they went out of Mitzrayim, and I shouldn't say that, but I'm following the Chavos HaLavos' lead. He'll do that, and as shocked as we are, and we think it's not relevant to us, but we're going to learn it because it is, and because he's talking about that pinprick of thought, that we're not really confident that we're living a real life when we do the things we do. And the Yetzer Hara, you don't walk around with that doubt, but the Yetzer Hara tries to get you to think that way. That's one way he tries to max, but Mashenkein, the Geschmackheit of whatever it is, so that's real. There's no suffix about that. Go out there and go to the park and go to hang out. That's very Geschmack. You can't deny that Geschmackheit. Okay, and the second thing he does is that he gets lumdus, and he says, that's a frumkeit, you don't want to be a frummy, do you?
going to be Mahadrin. What do you mean Mahadrin? Now Mahadrin became a very dirty word these last few weeks, so we don't want to be Mahadrin, at least not our bosses. And well, you have to be Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, it makes late sonos and Pesach, you know, what's terrible. And so that those are his two weapons, is an intellectual weapon. I like two types of intellect, to sow the seeds of doubt and to come to you with seemingly rational tainus. Okay, this will be very elaborated on a Perikei. Perikei is a Musa Sefer. Perikei, Chavis HaLovis, becomes a Musa Sefer, but he analyzes everything the Yetzer Hara does, and he tells you how to counteract it. And he talks about the Yetzer Hara in Perikei. Okay.